All right, ladies and gentlemen, right at Delaware Valley, welcome to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show on WWDB 860 AM. We're sponsored by Robin Lewis and Health Mark Enterprises. We've got an awesome, awesome show. We've got Christian Petrucci on the broadcast, and we've had our longtime host, Jennifer Gomez Hardy. We got so much going on, and of course, we have Robin Lewis and also in the house. First, I'm going to ask everybody to remind the listeners a little bit about yourself and your practice. Jen, if you would, please do the honor.
Hi, Joe. Hi, everyone. My name is Jennifer Gomez Hardy. You'll remember me from Go Hard with Jennifer Gomez Hardy. We're having some technical difficulties here, but we're going to get through this. So I do all personal injury and take on medical malpractice claims. And if you want to reach me, it's 267-313-1186.
And Christian Petrucci?
Yeah, hi. I'm Christian Petrucci. I have a workers' compensation practice that I've had since 2005 with offices both in Ballard-Kinwood, not far from the station actually, and Philadelphia at 2nd and Chestnut in Old City. Predominantly handle workers' compensation cases, Social Security disability, and occasional personal injury case, but most of those cases I generally tend to refer out to attorneys that handle that specialize in personal injury.
And Robin Lewison.
Good morning.
How are you?
Okay. How are you doing, Joe?
Good. We're in full swing of winter here,
and
everybody social distancing. It's still great to be in the studio, lots going on around the country, and lots going on obviously in Philadelphia.
We got our first vaccines.
That's right. Got our first vaccines. Yeah. Now the question is, you know, it's like, you know, when they have like a new computer program out, like Windows.
You think it's going to be like Apple?
Well, I'm just saying, like,
Apple, where we have to wait for the bugs to get fixed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you remember, what was it? Was it Life Cereal? Well, no, I'm not going to try it. You try it. I'm going to try it.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
You know what I mean? Like,
let everybody else try
it. Yeah, let's see how
here.
It goes.
Well, the first line workers, the nurses and the doctors are getting it now. And there are a few patches of nurses who say they're not going to get it, that they want to see. I mean, realistically, the four of us, we're not going to get it till June, July, probably. But, you know.
You say that, but I'm a union iron worker. So
yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, I'm telling you, we get it I'm joking.
And a proud Roman Catholic grad.
Boom! That's right. And everybody from Roman Catholic High School, top on the list.
Me and Jen are getting it in June, July.
Whoa. I don't think so. Let me just, a little confession. I haven't even taken the flu vaccine in I can't even tell you the last time. I think maybe under the age of 18.
Okay,
honestly.
But do you have any? Are you a scaredy cat or you don't do well with vaccines?
Okay, a little bit of both. Like, I don't trust it, and I have done fine without the vaccine, and I'm not someone that takes medication or I'm a rough rider when it comes down to it, and not that that's kind of, but I don't know. I just want my body just to figure it out.
Your body didn't figure out polio. I'm a little nervous though.
I also am. It's a good conversation because there's so many different schools of thought.
Yeah.
And you know, you get depends if you're a Republican or a Democrat.
I don't think it's a political issue.
I'm just saying. You know, it depends. I've heard it's. You know, I've got some Republican friends. I like to just come right out. Right.
Yeah.
And they're telling you're gonna grow a third arm or something like that.
Oh my
but
God.
But you know, listen, at this point, with the new spike and everything that's going on, I mean, I remember last year when it first started. I didn't know anybody. I mean, even going in 3 to 4 months. But now I know a lot of people.
You've had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not in other words, this isn't one of those things.
Yeah.
So here's been my theory the whole time. Better safe than sorry all across the board. As far as the vaccine goes, I mean, in a way, I'm kind of glad that we're not slated to get it until June or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I would like to see, you know, how it goes. I don't know how vaccines go. Like, in other words, if they improve them or if they, whatever happens, but I would like to see how it goes. And, you know, at the same time, I'm thankful. You know, you don't want this thing coming back with a vengeance again next year.
Yeah.
And England's getting it. So, they started like a week or two before us. So we'll see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
Jen, do you have any COVID cases?
Do I? No, actually, not right now. Someone called me the other day about a nursing home COVID case, but just based on like some of the facts, I think it's going to be really, really tough to prove. And that's going to be what's interesting right now, you know? But it's all in litigation right now. It's all everybody just trying to figure it out because we've never seen this before. So
how about you, Christian?
Yeah,
I actually have two clients that that have COVID and had significant physical problems as a result. Mm-hmm. In workers' comp, little different because while you don't necessarily have to prove actual exposure, although in these cases I think I can, I think the issue there is if you can demonstrate that the incidence of COVID is higher in their particular line of work, which is nursing home, than it is in the general population, you can get a rebuttable presumption that the COVID was contracted on the job. These cases are being denied. You know, and I think part of the reason for that is there are other, and the reason why I ask this is because there are other non-workers, you know, patients who have gotten sick and some have passed away contracting COVID in the same facility. And I think if they acknowledge that there's a valid work injury, then they've admitted that maybe they did something wrong that caused those residents to get COVID as well.
What about patients? So the patients at a hospital who contract it, and I have two questions really. That and immunity. You have so many employers, you know, right now, and you know, going. You know, I mean, it's you know, trying to. I think it's up at the. I don't know if it's at the PA legislature, but I'm pretty sure it is where. You know, people are claiming immunity, and the fact is that you have a situation where employers are obviously trying to get out of
the. Do you mean legal immunity? I thought you meant immunity from the vaccine.
Yeah, legal immunity. Okay. That's great.
Yeah, legal. I mean, so right. So what you're describing is the employer if an employee gets any work injury, but in particular occupational disease like COVID. Then the employer has statutory immunity. The employer is the injured worker or the individual that directed COVID is limited to getting compensated through the workers' comp system. Even if there's negligence, even if let's suppose they decided they didn't want to give out PPE to nurses or they didn't want to something really egregious.
By the way, that was a situation.
Exactly. There isn't any way to sue your employer for that. The remedy is limited to workers' compensation, unlike the residents who would have a negligence claim or even a medical malpractice claim, depending on whether it touched on something that they were doing medically against the employer.
And you do have, you know, so you do have some hospitals. I remember that jumped on this thing late, and one in particular, I got several calls where. From a particular nurse who happened to be a family member who was had a baby, and the baby was young, was less than a year old, so she was obviously nervous about that. And at the same time, working in a critical care unit. Now, Jen, you do personal injury. If there's no PPE given to nurses at a particular hospital, somebody goes in, they have a heart ailment, they contract COVID. You know, and you don't exactly know how it's a hospital, but the truth is you have a nurse situation where they weren't wearing PPE. They didn't get the PPE. Yet we talked about the immunity, the legal immunity. I mean, if a case came to you in that particular situation where a family member, and you could, by the way, say that for nursing homes, I'd be a great, I mean, almost a great example.
Yeah.
Where somebody contracted COVID in a nursing home. They clearly haven't been out of the nursing home in a year. They contracted it in there, and yet the workers at the hospital are not wearing PPE.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
No, I think that is a case that we would explore more. Here's the thing. I think we have gone through so many different waves, but we're at the point that everybody is required to even go shopping, to do different things like that. So it just sounds outrageous that you're taking care of somebody in a vulnerable medical condition and you're not wearing a mask. So I definitely think those are the cases that we're going to see much more often.
Yeah, right. In fact, so the individuals I'm referring to, this happened back in February, March, before it really became prevalent, which incidentally is one of the reasons why I think it's easier to prove actual exposure back then, because there was only a handful of people that had it,
right,
as opposed to now. But back then, there was no standard in terms of what was required, and each, you know, they were sort of doing it on the fly. What should we do? I mean, even on the federal level, originally Dr. Fauci came out and said that masks wouldn't help, and then he said that they would help for other people getting it, and then he said, well, it would help to prevent the person wearing it from getting it, and then came out and acknowledged that they had made that original statement only because they wanted the healthcare workers to get the masks and not run out of masks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was a little confusing as to what guidance was there even back then than there is now.
Yeah.
It's a lot more standardized, I think.
Yeah, but, you know, I was talking about that this morning, and that came from the White House. I mean, the fact that the highest office in the land wasn't wearing a mask and didn't tell people to wear a mask. I mean, it just seems dumb. I don't know. I don't have another adjective other than, you know, you wear a mask. They wore a mask with Ebola. They wear masks when my mother was in the hospital and she had respiratory issues. They wore masks and they told us to gown up. And here we have a highly contagious virus, and they're telling us, I don't know about masks. It just seems dumb.
It seemed like a lot of it was going back and forth. There were, you know, you see a lot of different, a mask is important. I'm talking a year ago, okay?
No, I'm talking about like back in the very beginning,
yeah.
even towards the summer and fall, they still weren't wearing masks.
Yeah.
And we wore masks in the hospital for lesser things than COVID. I just don't understand it. And I think that a lot of the super spreaders could have been prevented if you just wore a mask.
Yeah.
It's not like we're asking you to give, you know, your firstborn or a pint of blood or, you know, it's just
a mask. What about wearing
a
mask when you're driving your car alone?
No, I mean, but they...
Because I see a lot of people doing that, and I'm like...
That is,
and I'm a little concerned about it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In other words, I can see people, but I mean, you know, I'm just saying, I constantly see people driving in their car with a mask, and I'm like, maybe convenience. Maybe they don't feel like taking it off.
But
if you're going to be around people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it creates, if you remember, there was actually a recommendation a while back that people should wear masks while on a Zoom call, which sounds absurd. And in fact, I recently saw a telemed appointment of somebody that I know where the doctor was wearing a mask in the Zoom.
Right.
And
but that could be because he was, there's other people in the room. I've had that too.
It could be. But yeah. I also think it creates, the reason I think for the recommendation is it sort of sets a tone. So if somebody's, you know, if somebody's going so far as to wear a mask while on a Zoom, well, gee, this must be important if they're wearing
exactly.
a mask on a Zoom. They're never, you're not seeing somebody, you know,
no doubt about
that stature not wearing a mask. You figure, well, I must have to wear one if the doctor's wearing one on a Zoom. Must
well,
be
having said
deal.
That, you know what drives me crazy? It's very different. Even, you know, I go to a restaurant, a takeout place. You go up and everybody's got masks on. I got a mask on. No, I can't. I can barely hear or understand anything anybody's saying. And mm-hmm. it's like, yeah. And in some cases, look, it's can be an inconvenience, but in some situations. But the truth of the matter is this: it's been spiked so much
yeah.
that you gotta, you know, lives are being, so a buddy of mine's wife, 55 years old, was an iron worker. I mean, I've seen him a lot, but it happened a couple weeks ago, actually probably 10 days ago. She's 55 years old, was in good health, but had underlying situations.
Yeah.
You know, Amber.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the thing is, you know, it's hitting home now.
Right.
And so I guess we're going to have to take the precautions to another level. And I mean, I know we are, but you look at the vaccine. There's so many little factors, but I want to see how this, you know, when by the time it gets to us, because, you know, if I may, you know, as I'm likely to take that vaccine. First, as soon as I get the opportunity, because I don't know, you have no idea who's going to be impacted by it. I try to stay away from, you know, except for when I'm near Robin, I'm always walking towards her. Like, I got my Italian comes
so
out, and I know I'm coming too close when she's backing up. I'm like,
no.
I start checking my antiperspirant. But yeah, no, I get it.
I back it's up. Horrible. I mean, I walk the dog with a mask.
Yeah.
Since the very beginning, outside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm walking him in Center City.
Now, when you see somebody who's not walking with a mask,
it infuriates me.
Not even outside? Even outside?
I know.
Do you think it's a political statement when somebody's not wearing a mask?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a political statement or they're just ill and they're not informed or they, you know, in the beginning, it was, unfortunately, it was a lot of the younger people. Younger than us, let's put it that way, and they felt invincible.
Yeah.
And what they didn't know was that they could be asymptomatic and give it to their grandparents.
That's right. Yeah.
So I mean, wear a mask. I didn't get to see my family at all for the last few holidays, and it's upsetting to Zoom.
In some cases, it's.
And I won't see them for this holiday, and I'm not going to. You know, who knows when I'm going to see them? I'm going to see them over the computer.
Yeah.
So wait, what do you guys think about the new restrictions?
It's an interesting point.
You know, like I thought it was going to be much more stricter than they were.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're going to shut this down like
not.
This, that, the third. But just even coming here, I was walking through Rittenhouse Square and people are still out there eating and there's like a bunch of people. Then we have the Christmas Village where it's so many people there.
I was surprised that there had the Christmas Village.
What they did, they were smart. They did half as many booths. And
spread them out?
Yeah, they're spreading them out. And I believe there's people that are
counting
and they're only letting a set number of people in. I mean, Jen and I are in an area where the restaurateurs really, you know, they stepped up a notch or 10 and they built these like little villages on the street. If you can do it and you have the resources, they will survive. But it's the restaurants that
Talking Rittenhouse Square.
I know.
It doesn't work that way for a mom and pop.
It does. Well, a lot of them are mom and pop. Christian, I swear to you, these BYOBs that are on the off streets, they just set out tables and they put them in the street. And they contacted their neighbors. And they, I don't know whether they bartered for free food, but the tables went all the way down the block.
It's really...
And these are tiny little mom and pop restaurants.
Right. So some of the areas, the hospitality areas,
downtown. Yeah, but some won't be able to do it that are like in strip malls.
Absolutely,
they're not going to be able to do it.
But it's an interesting question in regards to the restrictions.
At some point, the remedy is worse than the disease, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the financial ruin that that's taking place across the country,
and in some cases. So I did a show not long ago where a bunch of restaurateurs were suing the city. And also in the state of PA, the governor, there's a class action suit. And because they said that when they, and part of the suit, and I think it got through, but now it's being appealed in the Third Circuit, is the fact that there's no medical representation on the government's staff, you know, this COVID staff. And so in some cases, the question is, who's picking the essential businesses and who's, you know, and you know, or how scientific is it? Is it getting?
It's not. And
Christian, it's a good point you make. I mean, you're in a situation. I was in that business. I know Jen, your husband's in that business, and man, it's a painful. Just the thought of it is painful. You're talking restaurant. You're talking bar, you're talking nightclub, you're talking hair salon, which my wife was in. If this was 6 years ago, I would be in huge trouble. And my heart goes out, you know, like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
So having said that, you know, we have to really, you know, we got to take this serious because we got to get them statistics down. And I wonder how the statistics blew up so much. You know, I say that because we're all social distancing. For the most part, we're wearing masks. And they said there was going to be another spike, and there is another spike. Mm-hmm. You got to wonder where those cells are where it's actually starting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
My heart goes out to anybody in the business, and you know, we're going to talk about, obviously we're going to get into the law. And how, you know, everybody's businesses have been affected.
Everything's new. I mean, let's face it. Not in our lifetimes have we ever seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. You know, as far back as I can remember, we've all been vaccinated against any of the horrific viruses. You know, when we were kids, we got the diphtheria, tetanus, you know, all of them.
Polio. You didn't think about it. Yeah.
Whooping cough, everything.
Sure.
Pertussis. But this is new. I mean, and it is going to affect our livelihood, and it is going to affect it's kicking our butts.
It is.
Is what it's doing.
And people are dying.
How about this morning? I mean, just waking up, the food banks are, and, you know, they're just overwhelmed. And I've tried to donate like three times, and thank God the websites are slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do it, you know, I'll try again when I get home. But the websites are getting a lot of money.
Oh, really? You mean for the...
Yeah, because my...
Nonprofits and all?
The nonprofits are getting money. I tried to do it through the Today Show, and their site was so busy that it wouldn't take my Apple Pay. So I just have to keep on doing it until I'm able to donate.
Well... One of the things that, you know, and certainly, you know, the outdoor dining and all that, but you look at, it's the holiday season now, and people are being hit like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to go to break, and then when we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about how everybody's practice is getting affected, and how, you know, the law has adjusted to this situation, and how people are getting still getting good representation. We'll have more from the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show after the break.
Suffering a work injury or any type of personal injury can be a painful and traumatic experience. What can make it even more difficult for a patient is trying to navigate and find the quality medical care they need for their particular injury. Healthmark Enterprises is a full-service medical coordination and marketing company started in 1994 by CEO Robin Lewison that takes all the worry and complications out of treatment for a work or personal injury. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with the top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with the top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients, Healthmark Enterprises handles the entire treatment process for injured workers and those suffering personal injuries so they can just concentrate on getting better. Healthmark Enterprises believes that being injured should not limit one's access to great medical care. Now, more than ever, an injured person needs an advocate on their side. Contact Healthmark Enterprises at 215-563-1315. That's 215-563-1315. Healthmark Enterprises. Pinnacle Medical Plus is a full-service urine toxicology and durable medical equipment company serving patients throughout the continental United States. With over 25 years of industry experience, the professionals at Pinnacle Medical Plus provide high-quality services and products combined with excellent service at a reasonable price. On the urine toxicology side, Pinnacle is a trusted partner that provides the most up-to-date therapeutic drug monitoring technology. On the DME side, Pinnacle offers an extensive list of premium products along with priority delivery services. At Pinnacle Medical Plus, their number one goal is making sure their customers and patients receive the quality care and services they deserve. Contact Pinnacle Medical Plus for all of your urine toxicology and durable medical equipment needs at 888-396-8644 or online at www.pinnaclemedicalplus.com.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car. Which, if you're buzzed...
6-8-10-9-10-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzzed driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzzed driving, because buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today,
right,
or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
They just told us right away that we're gonna house you, we're gonna feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. We're sponsored by Robin Lewison and Healthmark Enterprises. We've got a great show with some fantastic guests today. Christian Petrucci, the law offices of Christian Petrucci, and Jen Gomez, formerly the host of Go Hard with Jennifer Gomez Hardy, and a fantastic law firm. She's very experienced, the founder of the Gomez Law Firm, and we're talking COVID and how it's affected. It's just the second time around. I'll tell you, I was hoping, over the summer they talked about it, and I was obviously hoping it wasn't going to happen, but it has. It's hit us with a vengeance. And let's talk about how it's hit the practice of law in your different areas. Jen, it's a little different now, because when they shut us down last year, everybody was shut down. No one was even driving, okay?
Right.
But now, you know, people were out and about, no question. Yeah. At the same time, the courts are still not open.
Right, right. So here is the interesting thing. A lot of stuff has gone virtual, which is positive and negative at the same time. So the positive is I actually had a case in Lehigh Valley, and we had arguments. And instead of driving like an hour, hour and a half there, I was able just to argue it online. So those little perks, I love. Like, because some things you don't have to be in person for. Case management, I hope nobody's listening, but those are such a waste of time. So you literally go to the court, you hang out in a waiting room, and then you go meet with, you know, someone that tells you, they put your case on like deadline. So it'll let you know, hey, you have like 90 days for discovery. You have 120 days for, you know, reports. And it's just literally stuff that you could do online, like via an email or something like that. So that also is online. And they're actually doing that virtually. So I'm excited about those little things, those little perks. Where the negative comes in from, not all cases should be virtual. So I have a case right now where it's a bilingual client, and it's a trip and fall against Walmart. And so the court just reached out and said, hey, would you guys like to do this hearing, you know, via virtually? And I said no, because first off, I don't think that she presents well. And she actually needs to be in the room with the jury to have that rapport, and like, so they can sympathize with her.
I'm assuming Walmart's attorneys are dying to do it online, right?
So they like submitted their consent, and I was like, no, this is not what we're doing, you know? So there's like a strategic aspect of this too. Then there's also people don't have access to internet at home. So yeah. I had a client the other day that came in because he just doesn't have a laptop. He doesn't have internet. He doesn't have a lot of things. So he had to come into the office to do a deposition.
Sure.
So, you know, we're all trying to pivot and navigate through this whole thing. And I just think that that's where the attorney comes in, recognizes the clients and their case and
their circumstances.
And make a strategic move based on that.
So, Robin? You mentioned that you know, you kind of reacted in regards to different clients have different circumstances.
They all have, you know.
In the medical, you handle medical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's.
The doctors are doing telemed as much as they can, but it is tough when a injured worker does not have the money to pay for internet or doesn't have a smartphone. So we've asked a lot of the physical therapy centers to set up like a little booth where there's a computer and they can social distance and they can get online and talk to their doctors.
Sure. And I never, in a million years, I never thought that would be possible. Or even doing therapy by, you know, by the way, the kids are doing, you know, gym class.
Yeah.
You know, by Zoom. Like I stop at my brother's house. He's got a second grader, third grader, and a 12-year-old, and by the way, a 30-year-old, right? And a grandson, new grandson, but the little kids, you know, he's in the Zoom class there, and he's doing push-ups.
It was cute,
but I'm just saying, those physical activities, the things that are being done now are unprecedented. Christian, in your area, workers' compensation, you know, things are. A little bit, you know, there's no juries that you have to deal with, but tell us a little bit about your practice in regards to how it's being impacted and how the field of work comp is also.
Sure. So a lot of the same challenges that Jen deals with. I actually had a case in Pittsburgh that I signed up in January. I generally try to keep my cases from maybe Gettysburg East,
yeah.
Williamsport South.
If I was an attorney, I would do it only by football teams, and here's how it goes. I'm sorry, Pittsburgh, it's not going to work out. This is worth $10 million.
That's
I don't
hilarious.
Care. Take the $10 million and show.
That's hilarious.
No, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't frequently get Pittsburgh cases, but so this one here, I signed it up in January. This is before everything was shut down. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to go out at least two or three times, once for a deposition. And then everything closed down, and we ended up settling the case, and we did the whole
thing,
actually, some of the judges are actually doing by telephone. So it's not standardized in the workers' comp practice. Each judge throughout the Commonwealth has his or her own manner in which they do this. Some do it by WebEx. Some WebEx is basically the Microsoft version of Zoom. Yeah, I guess there were some privacy concerns with Zoom initially, so they kind of put the kibosh on that. But some of them are doing by regular old telephone. Now, of course, if there's a fact witness where the credibility is at issue, you can in some cases request a special hearing where there are literally only three people in the room, you know, the two attorneys, the judge, and maybe a court reporter. But for the most part, even those are done by tele, you know, by WebEx or some other means. I guess the other one they're using is Skype for Business.
Skype.
Some of them are using Skype, which is, again, they're all very, very similar. Uh-huh. Chat, or whatever, I think it's another one. So now in terms of the practice itself, so once they lock down, obviously, if people are not working, they're also not injured.
By the way, that was one of my next thing.
Right.
Even though you guys are up and running, obviously the lack, you know, the hit to the workforce has got to hit you a little bit.
It did. Although I have to say, it was to some extent it was beneficial to my practice because there are always cases where you sign up a client because you want desperately to help that individual, knowing that the case is probably unlikely to amount to anything because either the law is not there, the facts are terrible, whatever. There's some reason why it probably isn't going to work out, but you know that nobody else is going to take the case, so you take it because you want to help that person. But unfortunately, that case will sometimes sit there because it's like, well, you know, there's a tremendous amount of work that's going to go into it, and the likelihood of success are, you know, very, very, very slim. I immediately started pulling those cases and working them up, you know, significantly. So I had a lot of extra time because now I'm not driving to Lancaster every day. I'm not driving to Allentown and certainly not to Pittsburgh. So now all that time that I used to spend in the car, I am spending, you know, working up files that you know, need a tremendous amount of attention and that may or may not result in anything. So it's actually that got me through that period of time where there was literally nothing coming in. It was 4 months, so I got like two cases, both of which were the COVID cases I mentioned. And even those, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, the COVID cases are going to replace the cases, you know, that are not. Well, that's not the case because most people that get COVID don't really get sick to the point where they're missing time from work for more than 14 days. You have to miss 14 days really in workers' comp in order to even have a viable claim.
Right.
Most people are back to work before that time has expired. So sometimes, though, if there's, you know, lingering residuals either from a pulmonary perspective or sometimes there's these bizarre symptoms, you know, heart problems, things that, you know, people haven't even thought of yet. You know, or if you're, you know, a wine taster and you lose your sense of taste because
I don't get paid for it though, but.
But yeah, I'm being somewhat facetious. But you know, sure. You develop that, you know, that COVID on the job, and you lose your sense of taste, and now you can't taste wine. So then, I mean, you become creative in terms of trying to help people.
You know?
And if there's any conceivable way that I can help somebody that calls me, I will.
You know, I mean, it's an interesting. It's an interesting point you make. What about insurance companies, Jen? During these times, what are their disposition in regards to settlements? Because you know you're in very difficult. You typically, when you're injured, either work comp, but at the same time, personal injury. Sometimes somebody has a support system. So for example. I'm a construction worker. I get injured, but my wife is a waitress, or she's a bartender, makes a boatload at a nice place on the weekend, and you know we can make it. But now she's not working, and the insurance companies may understand that people are more stressed now than they used to be. What's the general sense that you're getting from them?
Joe, do you actually think that insurance companies have a bleeding heart? Because that would be false.
Yeah, no, and that's my thought process. Like, are they trying to squeeze because they know somebody's more stressed?
So there are certain insurance companies that are more difficult to handle than others. So I think right now there's a combination of things going on. Tis the season, so everybody's trying to close out their books. So a lot of the adjusters are getting on the phone and are talking about like settlement. Now, are they reasonable in their settlements? But I'm on the same wavelength as right now. I am trying to push out all my less attractive cases, the ones that have like the warts and the ones that have the less favorable facts and that I know I'm not going to be successful should this go to trial. And here's the thing with PI in a lot of cases, it's a business decision. You are taking on a lot of the risk. And so I am guilty too of wanting to help everybody that comes through the door with an issue. And so I do have a lot of cases where I know no one else will take, but I love the client. I love their story. I want to, you know, get them a piece of the pie, and all that stuff. So I am spending a lot more time on those kind of cases because I'm trying to execute. I'm trying to get adjusters on the phone and say, hey, listen, you don't want to take this into 2021, do you?
How's that work though when you do that? I mean, are they typically responsive?
Yeah, absolutely. They are. But like I said, it comes down to the adjuster. It comes down to the insurance company. It comes down to so many different things. Like I have this one limited tort, and this is such a good way to remind my listeners that you want to make sure that you have full tort. Also, in this time, a lot of people are running around with fake insurance, no insurance, lapse insurance, like a whole bunch of things I'm seeing. So you want to make sure that you're covering yourself by making sure that you have uninsured motorist benefits and underinsured motorist benefits. So little plug for that. And if you guys need a little bit more information on that, please give me a call, 267-313-1186. But back to my limited tort case. So she basically got rear-ended, so the issue of liability is not there. The issue becomes the limited tort, whether or not she has a serious injury under the law. Well, they look at the property damage. They're like, okay, it was like $600 in property damage, which if you say that out loud, you're like, wait a minute, if I get a scratch on my bumper, that's at least like $800, you know, like how could this person possibly get hurt to the level of seriousness, and it's only like $500, you know. So we have those issues. So I've been, the adjuster has been calling me like relentlessly, like every 30 days offering me like $500, you know, and then they're like, you know what, I'm gonna
Jen,
go
this is what you should say. This is what you should say. This is my community college education. I'll take the 500, but my client wants 20 grand. Maybe that's off. I don't know.
No, I just think that it's outrageous. So this one particular adjuster, I'm like, look, go kick rocks is my go-to. Go kick rocks. Please do not call me anymore. Don't waste your time. Don't waste my time with such a minimal thing. Because when it comes down to it, even I usually say, I don't want to give my clients a Wawa coffee like at the end of the day, and that wouldn't even support a Wawa coffee by the time I get my expenses and fees and all this other stuff. So
Starbucks maybe.
Yeah, Starbucks maybe. But yeah. Also, this is such a good thing that we need to talk about. Like, listeners, if you are picked as a jury, I don't think that people understand how much power you have sitting in a jury box, but you could send a message to the insurance companies saying like, hey, listen, this person was injured and we're going to smack you with a nice sizable award. You're an appraiser. Like, that's what I tell my jurors. I'm like, you are literally an appraiser. How much is it worth that this person here had to stop everything in their life, find time to go treatment for 3 times a week? Like, what is that worth to you? You know?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And
be generous, guys. Be generous.
But a lot of people, you know, on this program have said that, you know, doing your duty and being a juror is one of the most important things you could do.
Absolutely.
To impact change and justice, obviously.
Yeah.
Christian, in your end of the law you're dealing with, judges, you're dealing with all, you know, types of stuff, you're dealing with work comp providers. Is there anything that's changed during this time?
So, you know, there's, I think, a little secret that isn't really out there. And that is that insurance companies, I think, as a rule, are making money hand over fist during this time because you think the premiums went down? In other words, these premiums were based on they're going to be working for 12 months. Mm-hmm. Instead, they're working for 6 months out of 12. Nobody's getting hurt, and therefore they're not paying out any claims. And therefore, they're pocketing significant profits as a result. And in fact, I know some of the health insurance companies are sending out, I think, the Affordable Care Act had a provision where if they don't spend a certain amount of money, they have to give you a refund. So people are getting refund checks from their health insurance because they went to the doctor three times during the year and they didn't use any of their health insurance. The same thing is applicable to workers' comp. I think if you're running a company that normally gets, let's say, 10 work injuries a month, and they went 6 months and there were zero work injuries for each of those months, well, now the insurance company's made a tremendous amount of money. So I think they're turning that around to try to settle out cases before the year is up to maximize that. Because I think when they go, next year when they go to re-up, I think a lot of the employers are going to want some of that money back.
Yeah.
Hey, they want to pass those savings on to the insureds, which rarely happens, but in this instance.
They never, by the way, I watch the football games or whatever, and I see that insurance company commercials. They drive me nuts. Now, Jen, mm-hmm. when you see Liberty Bibberty, we only give you, you only get what you need. What the heck does that mean? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, what, Robin?
I do know that I've been getting a lot of phone calls from medical providers, and their bills aren't getting paid. The insurance is saying that, they're going to have to wait because they're short-staffed because of COVID. When we know that those adjusters are working from home.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
So, I mean, it's a bunch of...
They're just collecting interest on their money.
Basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to the point where a lot of these medical providers are, they're just in the red because they're not getting paid on time. And when they call, the adjuster is more than happy to talk to them and tell them how awful it is. And, her kids are on Zoom or his kids are on Zoom. But, we're really short staffed and, we'll see about getting you a check, at some point.
The MRI facility in my building right down the street here just went out of business. They closed up and they've been there for as long as I can remember. And now they're not operational anymore. And that company, I think, had about six MRI facilities. They're down to, I think, one or two. The other four, they closed.
Yeah.
It's real. I mean, their people are.
And what's a shame is that so many people you didn't know coming into this when you got hit what industry, like for example, immigration law, right? Those attorneys are dying right now because they see everybody in person. And right now we're going to have Robin, recite the preamble to the Constitution.
Thanks, Joe.
To spice this up a little bit.
Just kidding, Robin.
Well, remember,
I could sing a song.
From Schoolhouse Rock, We the People, you remember they actually had the preamble in the Schoolhouse Rock song.
Oh my gosh.
We'll practice that on the next one, Christian. Yeah. No question about it. Let's talk about when two fantastic attorneys like the two that we have in the room work together and on something called the third party case. Now, in your cases, it would be a construction case let's for a second throw a third party case that would be a transportation based case. Okay, a little less standard. In other words, does the insurance company for the individual, say you're driving a delivery, you're driving a delivery, car or whatever, you're driving a delivery truck. You get hit and blindsided by a car that doesn't have insurance. Now, Jen, you're working, but there's workers' comp. The company has work comp, but the individual, does that situation impact the injured worker And the, you know, the individual got hurt. In other words, it seems to me like it would be like, it would be much the same as if they were driving a regular car. If the other person didn't have, if they didn't have insurance, does that also depend on the worker's car having the uninsured and underinsured motorist?
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to look at what the host vehicle had. And most of the time they have the coverage, which is really great. So yeah.
Commercial vehicles are, you know, if there's a commercial vehicle involved, you're usually going to have good coverage, and you're going to have good under and uninsured motorist coverage as well.
Yeah.
I got hit by a Walmart truck going 50 miles an hour, but I felt bad for them. So I said, yeah, because they're a small company. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, you know what?
I'm going
to
let them go.
You want to let them go?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Waltons themselves, they're making what? $100 billion a year? I mean, come on. You know, I actually did get hit last 2 weeks ago, little bump in a guy in a truck. And.
And your neck hurts now. Your back hurts now. We're going into therapy.
Right.
Don't say anything that's going to be used against you.
What was interesting about it was this: we got hit from behind. It was a contractor who was driving, working for his grandfather, and he had his little kid in the car. Aww. And his little kid wasn't wearing a seatbelt, and we jumped around. Now he just touched this, but. You know, I mean, I got out and did the right things, you know, got his, you know, license plate and all. My wife, she's already had issues a way back, but thankfully we weren't in a situation. But I was very aware of it. I mean, in other words, for the next 2 to 3, even now, I'm making sure because I seen it happen to her before.
Yeah.
But when somebody gets hit, Christian, and they're driving and they get hit by a random person driving, whether they got insurance or not, they're driving and they're working on the clock.
Right.
Is that a normal workers' compensation situation as if they were working on a construction site?
Absolutely. The only exceptions to that are what's called the coming and going rule. So if you're coming to work in the morning, in other words, commuting, or you're going home in the evening, generally that is not covered. There are exceptions to that, which I won't get into now, but certainly I wouldn't, to anybody listening that let's say was in an accident on the way to work, don't be your own lawyer. Don't assume, oh, I was going to work, I know I don't have coverage. Always contact somebody who can ferret that out, because there are exceptions to those rules. Exceptions to most rules. So you definitely want to check that out. And so if the individual is on the job, especially if they acknowledge as such and they start paying workers' comp. So the first thing I'm going to do is most likely get a partner, like somebody like Jen, who handles auto cases on a more regular basis than I, and immediately start working together on getting the individual to the correct doctor.
Sure.
To get the proper treatment. Because sometimes there's some issues there where, well, is the PIP, you mean the first party benefits from the person's policy going to pay the medical bills, or does the person have to go through workers' comp? Workers' comp is generally primary, but sometimes there's a denied claim initially. So, who are we going to send the bill to initially? There's a lot of issues that you have to deal with right out of the box. So it takes coordination. So that's the first thing that you look out
when,
for.
When you're...
You know what? Can I say something? Sure, while
sure. Hold on for a second. I want to think on it.
Hold on. Somebody turn his mic off. No, I'm joking. No, but you know what's funny about workers' comp is that workers' comp, they will only accept a couple different injuries.
Right.
Like my one client that I'm thinking about right now, they only accepted his left hand and elbow. But they didn't accept anything else, like his back. And
right.
And so he treated for all these injuries. He treated for his left hand, his elbow, and his back. So workers' comp was like, hey, I'm not paying anything related to your back. So I had these huge, huge bills because workers' comp denied it. So then, you know, fighting with a PIP and trying to get creative as to who could pay these bills, because at the end of the day, whatever's not paid,
that's interesting,
comes out of my client's pocket.
So that's actually
that's an interesting point.
There's a lot of different levels to that,
yeah,
because what happens normally, somebody gets hurt in the job initially, There's 21 days they have to accept or deny the claim. So they will normally base, you know, a claims adjuster will minimize everything. They'll put the least amount of the fewest number of body parts in the lightest form of injury. So usually, you know, lumbar sprain and strain. You'll see that on you know, so that means a low back sprain, even though there's a thousand different things going on. You sort of give them a pass on that because a lot of times they really don't know what's going on and they don't want to buy things that ultimately prove not to be related. So as time goes by, though, most insurance companies, workers' comp insurance companies, will pay bills gratuitously, meaning if they get bills for neck, back, and shoulder, as long as they can kind of see, all right, these things are related, let's just pay it. They don't want to fight. They don't want you coming in to try to formally amend the description of injury. There's reasons for that. Now, there's also reasons on our side why you want to keep it that way. Because let's suppose you have an injury where there's neck, back, shoulder, and only the back is included. Well, if they settle that case, you know, 6 months in, and they go to a doctor and try to get treatment for, let's say, a neck a couple of months later, you're less likely for the health insurer to say, well, that's a work injury, we're not going to pay for that. So, like, no, if you look on the accepted injury, it was only accepted my back. My neck was never legally responsible, you know. So there are reasons why you sometimes want to keep that, not include that formally, as long as they're going to agree to
Well, and that's a great reason why you need an attorney as soon as possible. Yeah. I've seen so many people try to do it themselves. Listen, by the way, we're getting into some really interesting areas that we have to pick up on the next time. We got about a minute left. Jen, would you remind our listeners your contact information?
Absolutely. Jennifer Gomez Hardy, www.gomezjustice.com, phone number 267-313-1186.
Christian Petrucci?
Sure. The law offices of Christian Petrucci, my telephone number is 610-747-0440, 610-747-0440, or Christian@PetrucciLaw.com is my email address, PETRUCCI.
All right. I want to thank our guests for being awesome. And a great conversation. I want to thank Robin Lewison and Healthmark Enterprises, our sponsor. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. Thanks for listening.